Good morning. Again, I'd like to extend my welcome to you all. It's good to see this number out, praising God on the first day of the week. I thank you for this opportunity for speaking. I do enjoy speaking the gospel whenever I have opportunity. I thank you for the elders for providing me this opportunity. It is, for some of you who might know, I have had opportunity to speak down in Wachuca City Church of Christ for a few months, and so I have opportunity to speak, but I do enjoy coming home to family and speaking in front of you all, and it is a honor and something I do not take lightly. And I do consider you all my family. That's kind of my topic for this morning is family. If you'd like to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that will be my first verse, but we won't get over there for a little bit. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. Family is something that is important to me. It's something that I was raised to be important with, and I do consider my spiritual family just as close as my physical family is. I view many of you in this room as family. I look forward to coming here and greeting you all each week that I have opportunity. I enjoy seeing Jason and shaking his hand. I enjoy seeing Alan and the encouraging words he always has. Since Alan has known I go and preach in Wachuca City, he's always made sure to ask how things are doing and how my lessons are. And as I told him one time, I said, it's okay, this time the tomato stayed in the bag. I do enjoy seeing Mitch and shaking his hand and the firm look he looks into my eye and says, how are you doing, Doug? And I have to answer him every time and tell them I'm doing okay. We know what we mean by that. And I enjoy seeing my parents, my mom and dad. I enjoy worshiping with them. I talked to Brian about that, and they don't know this yet, but this lesson is about them, my mom and dad. So they might get a little red. They might blush a little bit, so don't look that way a little bit. My mom's going to get a little upset. It's okay. She tends to do that. But this morning, I want to talk about things you've learned from your parents. Things you learned from your parents. 3 points I have this morning. 3 things my parents always said to me, and I'm sure you've all heard these same things every single day throughout your life, just as I had. 3 things my parents have always said to me. Bye, I love you. Make millions. And remember, you're an Abney. Did your parents tell that to you? No? What? No, your parents didn't tell you that? No? No, Mitch, your parents didn't tell you to remember you're an Abney? No? Oh. Maybe I should rethink my points. We'll press on anyway. But these things I always heard from my parents. First, bye, I love you. And as such, we should have love from our family. And it is important to mention that we love our family every single time we can. Too many stories are out there of loved ones who have passed without a word. Or you get in some sort of quarrel and then that's the last thing you say to each other. It's important that every time you see each other, that you say, I love you. And this love is shown for the brethren through Paul in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, we'll be starting down in verse 23. Very familiar passage to many of us. And they are servants of Christ. I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman, and far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, and dangers from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, and often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me, my anxiety for all the churches. And so we see here Paul in all these labors and all these pains that he went through in serving the gospel. He has this hardship, this this anxiety for the members of the church, for his family, which I'm sure he held very dear to his heart. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 1. We'll also view this point. Philippians chapter 1, we'll start from verse 1. And in this passage, you'll see a very easy connection with Paul and the saints. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints who are in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making my prayer with joy because of my partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus, and is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So here we see, again, very easily, Paul and his feelings for the brethren, that he can relate to them, that he knows their trials and knows the pains that they've went through. And just like my parents, Paul always sent greetings to the brethren. It's very easily seen in Romans in chapter 16. We're not going to be reading much from there, but just turn over to Romans chapter 16 and view how Paul greets his brethren. From the very first verse, I command you, our sister Phoe, and the servant of the church of Cyrene, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, as she has been a pardon of many of and of myself as well. And then just glance through here. Verse 3, greet also Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 5, greet also the church. Verse 6, greet Mary. Verse 7, greet Andaicus. Verse 8, greet Aphiphilus. These names. Verse 9, greet. Verse 10, greet. Verse 12, greet. Verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, 16. And then he just closes the letter after that. But all these saints he wants to mention and greet to you. And in this being the last chapter, this is the last thing that Paul is saying to these members. He's saying, bye, I love you. Just like my parents did. Which brings me to my next point. Make millions. How many of your parents said that? Make millions? No? Wow. I must have weird parents. Make millions. Another something my parents always said on the way out the door. And I'm sure many of us would like to make millions. Would we not? That would be pretty cool. To not have a financial burden in this life, or to not have the worry of monetary gain. But that is not what my parents were saying when they were saying, make millions. They were saying, typically as we left the house or we're off to school, or the job that needed to be done, that there was a job that needed to be done, and that we need to do it. And more importantly, we need to do it unto the Lord. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes. In chapter 9, very simple verse here, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, a verse we're all very familiar with. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might, for there's no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. It's important to know that when we work, we are working for the Lord. And that the Lord is our master, the Lord is our boss. He is the one who we need to remember we're working for. Let's turn over to Colossians in chapter 3. Towards the end of the chapter, verse 22. Colossians 3, starting in verse 22. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that they also have a master in heaven. So here we see it's very important to remember that we are not working for our boss here on earth. I am not working for Napa. You are not working for your employer. You are not working for the person above you. You are working for the Lord. And that's a very important thing to remember. That's something my dad and I have discussed many times when jobs get to us or customers get to us, labors get to us, we're just tired, we're in pain, you don't want to do anything anymore. So many times we can just give up. And I'm sure every single one of us have an example of that person in the workplace, that person who just shows up for a paycheck, or that person who just tries to get by with as little as they can, or that person who makes an excuse to do not to do every job that they can. And we're like, how come I can't be like that? How come I just can't skirt by? How come I just can't collect a paycheck? Well, that's easy, because I'm working for the Lord, and the Lord knows I'm working for him. And the work that I do, whether it be here amongst you all, whether it be down in Wachuca, whether it be for Napa or AutoZone or the city or the government or McDonald's or Walmart, it doesn't matter. You are working for the Lord, and you will give an account for the work that you have done. Lastly, that brings me to remember your Dabney. I guess not many of you heard this as you were leaving, did you? Something my parents always said, bye, love you, make millions, and remember your Dabney. Every day as we left the house, my parents were reminding me that I had a name to live by. I had my last name. And many places I've gone, they knew my parents before me, and they knew the work ethic that was set ahead. When I came to this congregation, my parents had already been here for a year. By the time I came to start worshiping with you all, I had a name to live by. I had the name of Abney. And you knew my parents, and you had an expectation of me. When I go to other places, I know people who have known my father, have known my brother, or known other parts of my family, and they have an expectation of me to remember that I'm an Abney and remember the name I'm wearing. But we today have a much greater name than Abney, which my mom were nine to use, number one, except for under Aaron. We have a much greater name to live by, and that is the name of Christ. We are Christians. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. This used to be my favorite memory verse growing up. My parents probably heard it thousands and thousands of times. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called of one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, a Father all, who is over all, through all, and in all. It is important to know that we are one body, we are one Spirit, but here particularly there is one hope that belongs to your call, or one hope in your calling. We are called to be Christians. We are called to be out of this world, and we are called to be different. And that example is brought out in 1 Peter in chapter 2. 1 Peter in chapter 2 in verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they might see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So here we see that we are set apart. We are different. We are very, very different from the world. And part of that is because of the name that we bear. We bear the name of Christian. In verse 9, just look how special we are. Look how much name we have to live up to. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. God wants you. God wants you as part of his possession. He called you for that purpose, so that you may proclaim him. And he called you out of darkness. And once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Verse 10. Before you were a Christian, before any of us were a Christian, whether we were just a child, we were in our teenage years, or you came to Christ later in life, you were called out of darkness. And once you were not a people, you were not collected, but now you wear the name of Christ. And we are Christ's family. We are Christ's body. And that is the name that we wear. Go ahead and grab your songbooks and open up to the Song of Imitation. One more verse I'd like to read in closing. If I can get to the right verse. Excuse me, I thought I had it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19.